Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all on this Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Welcome also to all of those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for joining us and worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for Carol A. Joswiak.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We celebrate right here in the middle of ordinary time, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Our colors go to red. We contemplate Jesus' saving death and the gift of the cross. No one likes death, nobody likes suffering, and yet Jesus has transformed the cross from a sign of death and loss to a sign of victory and a sign of life, of mercy and forgiveness. And so with that great trust in God's mercy and forgiveness, let us place our woundedness, our emptiness, our bitterness, our sinfulness at the foot of the cross, that it might be redeemed, that we might go from the Good Fridays of life to an Easter Sunday of resurrection. I confess to Almighty God Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
And on earth, peace to people of goodwill. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your
Let us pray. O God, who will that your only begotten Son should undergo the cross to save the human race, grant, we pray, that we who have known his mystery on earth may merit the grace of his redemption in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Numbers. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole. And if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The word of the Lord.
After God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. Do not forget the works of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and of earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
your cross, you have redeemed the world. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. From the creation narratives of Genesis, we realize that sin quickly enters into the world. It disfigures everything. It wounds us, made in the image and likeness of God. It turns us against each other. Adam points the finger at Eve. Eve points the finger at the serpent. Serpent doesn't have fingers. Buck stops there. They get kicked out of the garden even. Even nature turns against them, and now they have to till the soil. And there's rancor and contention, and there's rivalry and envy and spite. Cain kills his brother Abel. It's the sad legacy of sin and death entering into the world. Sin is always a rebellion. Sin is always a rebellion against God, God's will, God's ways, God's order, God's plans, God's design. And inevitably, when you push back against life itself, what do you choose but pain and suffering and destruction and ultimately death? It's just how it goes by nature. We sometimes kid ourselves that our sins aren't that big a deal and it's really not hurting anybody else. But like ripples in the pond, sins have their own way of bearing bad fruit and sometimes right down the generational line. And so God doesn't want to put up with that. He doesn't want his creation marred, ultimately. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We're created to shine like the stars in the sky. We're created to be saints. The Lord wants to heal us. The Lord wants to recreate, to transform, to make new, a new heavens and a new earth. And so we get to celebrate this theme that we see all throughout salvation history, this theme of renewal, this theme of transformation, and even reflect on how that even changes how we look at suffering and the crosses of life, that we can maybe even see them now as part of God's plan of redemption, part of our own conversion, maybe the atonement for our sins, part of our learning process, and ultimately part of our salvation. In the Old Testament, we see signs of renewal, sometimes painfully, Noah and the flood, the parting of the Red Sea, but also God transforming the difficulties of Israel and providing for them in ways that are beyond their expectation. Times of the Exodus, when they're in a dry and barren land, and the Lord rains manna, food from heaven, for 40 years, brings water from the rock, provides for them in an area that would not provide for them, would not sustain them. The Lord transforms their journey to get them to the promised land. Our first reading comes from that period. It was a contentious period. There was a lot of complaining. We've been on long car trips. Have you ever been the kid in the back seat? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You can only imagine the challenges. They're doing this all on foot. And so they're complaining for the umpteenth time. They're rebelling against Moses. They're rebelling against God. They're literally asking to go back to slavery and death in Egypt so that they can eat better. And the Lord tries to show them in a very visceral and tangible way that they're choosing their destruction. And he allows them to be attacked by serpents. And then when they repent, when they cry out to the Lord shows them their sin and makes that the sign of their healing. Moses, make a bronze serpent and mount it on a pole. And it's not for worship purposes, it's not that kind of graven image, but it shows them their sin. That they have to face the source of their affliction in faith as part of their repentance. And in that, then they recover and survive. And Jesus alludes to that very episode in the book of Numbers as he explains to Nicodemus, still in a rather cryptic way, that the Son of Man too will be raised on a pole, speaking about his crucifixion on Good Friday, out of love. And like that bronze serpent on the pole, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we look at his passion and his saving death in faith, we look at him as the innocent one who takes on all the sins of the world, the sins of the guilty. In that moment of faith, Jesus' mercy and forgiveness become ours, and we find healing. And we find a way that opens us up to the promised land, the true promised land, not of this world, but of the world to come, of heaven. So Jesus uses that image of transformation as a foreshadowing of what his ultimate plans and purpose are. And yes, when we get to the New Testament, there's all sorts of transformations. Water into wine at the wedding at Cana. What an opening miracle in vast quantities. More than they should consume at a party, frankly. Loaves and fish into quantities that would feed a multitude with food to spare. And ultimately, the sign of that new and eternal covenant inaugurated on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, which we celebrate as a perpetual memorial in every Mass. Bread and wine becoming his body broken, his blood outpoured for us, the sign of his covenant, the sign of his passion and his death. A font of mercy for the world. Every time we celebrate Mass, we pray for the salvation of the world. It's a celebration of Jesus' self-offering, God the Son to God the Father, transforming our world, redeeming and renewing the face of the earth. And even in that, in his passion, and especially because we're reading John's gospel today, John the apostle tries to make that image of renewal and transformation clear. That this is a covenant. This is a marriage of humanity and divinity. Jesus is the bridegroom laying down his life for the bride. This is a good thing. That's why we can say it's Good Friday, even though it's full of suffering and loss and confusion and pain, that what comes of this is the salvation of the world. It's the beginning of something new. And that nuptial language speaks of Jesus as a new Adam, just as the original Adam and Eve, by their disobedience, brought sin into the world, and with sin, death, and suffering, and pain, and loss, and all of that disorder. So Jesus, as the new Adam, by his obedience, brings life and order and harmony and completion and healing to the nations. And if that couldn't be any clearer, we see after Jesus' death, the centurion by his lance opens the side of Jesus, opens a way to the God the Father through his heart, and pierces him right through the rib, which is such a reminder of the original Adam, who from his rib came forth his bride, Eve. And when Jesus is pierced by the lance, blood and water flow forth, which shows the images of the sacraments of initiation. Water, the image of baptism, washing souls clean from sin, baptizing them into Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The blood of the new and eternal covenant we celebrate in the Eucharist, the blood which is the lifeblood of souls, making us one body, one blood, one family in Christ, making us the bride of Christ, the church. And if that wasn't obvious enough, Jesus is laid in a tomb, and John describes it as a garden tomb. It's a tomb in a garden. Why does he use that language figuratively? He's reminding us of the Garden of Eden, where it all began. And here it begins again, in a garden with an empty tomb on Easter Sunday. New life, resurrection, hope, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a sharing of God's divine life, the gift of the church to share that good news and our witness, to reach out to our world in its brokenness and its confusion and its loss and its bitterness and anger, and to say there is hope. And it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to take all of our crosses away. No, because crosses are redemptive. If we took all the crosses away, we would imperil our salvation. We tend to learn more from our sufferings than from our successes. In fact, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, we're made in the image and likeness of love itself. To come to the perfection of love entails sacrifice. It will entail some suffering, some loss, some anxiety, some heartbreak. You really can't remove the cross and love deeply. It just doesn't work that way. Love will at some point leave you vulnerable. But the Lord transforms the meaning of our crosses, our brokenness, as an atonement for our sins, as an atonement for the sins of the world, as a sacrifice, as an opportunity to understand and walk along with our brothers and sisters in their pain and their loss and their sufferings, to have an empathy for them, an understanding for them, to find Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poor. As he says in Matthew 25, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. To even yoke up with Christ, as he says, my cross is easy, my burden light. The cross is redemptive. It's transformative. It is no longer just a sign of sin and death, of loss. It is now a sign of hope. It is a sign of redemption. It is a sign of great mercy and a special love, a special divine love that is beyond any accounting of our math, an infinite love, a divine love. And so in this celebration of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, as we come before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, as we come to celebrate this Eucharist, and any time we come to Mass, please remember, bring your brokenness, bring your emptiness, bring your doubts, bring your confusion, bring your sinfulness, bring your pain, bring your suffering, bring your trials, bring your crosses. Spiritually lay them before the altar in faith. Lord, I give this to you, my brokenness, my pain, my suffering, my confusion, my questions, and I lay this before you, that the Lord might transform it. Nail it to the cross. Say it in your own words. The Lord will understand. Lord, I give you my pain. I give you my crosses. Transform them. Make them salvific for me. Bring me from my Good Fridays of life to Easter Sunday, that I might be with you in the resurrection, to rise to new life in this world so as to be with you in the next. May the crosses of life bring us to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Professing our faith in the transformative power of the cross, we stand and pray,
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, begotten from the ground, begotten not made, consubstantial of all God, through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our Savior who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
God sent his Son that all might be saved. Trusting in that saving power, let us bring him our prayers today.
For church leaders, may they be filled with joy in their mission to radiate God's love. Let us pray to the Lord. For government leaders, may God endow them with a spirit of true service. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who carry heavy crosses of suffering, may Christ console them with his presence and strengthen them by his love. Let us pray to the Lord. For this community of faith, may Jesus conform us more closely to himself. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who suffer physically or emotionally, may Jesus bring them comfort and assure them of his love, especially Claire Belmont, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray. For our beloved dead and all who have died in the light of faith, may they enjoy perfect healing and wholeness in heaven, especially Joe Moran, Robert McKnight, Mary Margaret Brown, Mike Conway, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty God, hear these prayers we bring you today. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Cease the love.
stand and pray, my brothers and sisters, my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May this oblation, O Lord, which on the altar of the cross canceled the offense of the whole world, cleanse us, we pray, of all of our sins through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you place the salvation of the human race on the wood of the cross, so that where death arose, life might again spring forth, and the evil one who conquered on a tree might likewise on a tree be conquered through Christ our Lord. Through him the angels praise your majesty, dominions adore, and powers tremble before you, heaven and the virtues of heaven, and the blessed seraphim worship together with exaltation. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in humble praise as we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. But through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. A mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to a second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints at whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you in your compassion, O merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of the Father and the glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God, you take
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
precious love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul, that caused the Lord of bliss to lay aside his crown for my soul, for my soul? Aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to great I am, I will sing, I will sing, while millions join the theme, I will sing.
Let us stand and pray. Having been nourished by your holy banquet, we beseech you, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring those you have redeemed by the wood of your life-giving cross to the glory of the resurrection, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Please join us in sending forth singing number 881, Lift High the Cross. Again, that's 881.
Thank you, my friends, for joining us for the Outreach Mass. The Holy Mass is the self-offering of God the Son to God the Father, the most powerful prayer the world has ever seen, and we get to participate in it. But outside the Holy Liturgy, perhaps the most powerful prayer in our Catholic tradition is the Holy Rosary. Every single Hail Mary is an honoring of the Incarnation, God entering into our world, into our humanity, and redeeming it from the inside out. Would you please pray a Hail Mary for the good of our mission, for our Outreach Mass staff and ministry. And if you're able to support us, please do as well. If you wish to send a check, send it to the Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support, and thank you for being with us. May God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.